Well, we're going to start reading here from John 21, starting from verse 15, and then we're going to be in Acts chapter 11, going to verse 27. John 21, verse 15, it says, "So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' He said to him again a second time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Tend my sheep.' He said to him the third time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know all. You know that I love you.' Jesus said to him, 'Feed my sheep.'" Verse 18 says, "Most assuredly I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Come with me to the book of Acts. We are going to go to chapter 11 in the book of Acts at verse 27. Acts 11, verse 27, it says, "In these days prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Then one of them, named Agabus, stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul." And then chapter 12, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover." Please pray with me. Oh, Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your holy word. Thank you again that the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Oh, we thank you for a passage like that, which declares to us your word, which cannot be broken, your word, which stands forever. And we thank you, Lord, how your word contains so many principles for life. And we thank you, Lord, these words that we just read from the book of John, as well as in Acts, I believe it shows us and teaches us today, not just the people back then. You're not just telling a story, which is history. Your word stands forever. Your word is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. You want to speak to us today, Lord. We know that. We believe that. And we invite you here, Father. Please have your way with us now. We ask you, Father, you are, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. Please continue to comfort each and every one of our hearts. Encourage us today, Lord. Some of us, I believe, are just going through so much today. We want to cast our burdens, our cares, our anxieties upon you. And Lord, many of us have been spoken to by you before. Just like you prophesied to Peter, you gave us words of encouragement, of hope, to walk with you by faith and not to shrink back because of fear. So we ask you, God, give us boldness, give us courage, have mercy upon our lives. Minister to us as you and only you can do. For we ask you in the name above all names, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask. Empower us for your sake, your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. You guys could have a seat if you would, please. So we opened up by reading this passage in John chapter 21 where Jesus himself is asking Peter, and I know some of you have done this. I've even done this. When you're married, you tend to do this. Do you love me? Yeah, if you've seen that movie, Fiddler on the Roof, do you love me? Me and my wife joke about that all the time, if you've seen that passage in that movie. But you got this passage now in John 21 where Jesus is asking Peter. We've gone through this before. We're not going to go in depth and detail of that and what that part meant. But he's asking him three times. There's something interesting going on in the original language in Greek. We'll leave that for another study. We've already covered that before. But after he asked Peter this, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Then, get this. Jesus, Messiah himself, tells Peter, look at this again, in John 21. He has the nerve to actually tell him how he's going to die. Since you love me, Peter. I mean, why is it that he actually tells him that? Right? How many times you go through a conversation with someone that you love and loves you, you're grilling them. Do you love me? Okay, so here's how you're going to die. That's a weird conversation, isn't that? Now, if you're here today and not only needing a touch from the Lord, but you also wonder, why is it, Jesus, that you gave Peter this wacky prophecy? After all, the guy just said that he loves you. So here you go, and you're telling him, oh, look, by the way, Peter, when you're young, you're younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wish. But when you're old, you'll stretch out your hands. He's given him a prophecy of, you're going to be crucified. Thank you very much. After you tell me, do you love me? And I already confessed, yes, I love you. You know all things, Lord. Well, here's how you're going to die, Peter. That's a strange conversation. Have you ever wondered why is it that Jesus actually gave him this wacky prophecy? He didn't do that to the other apostles. Any of you guys wonder that? No? Am I the only one? Okay, a couple of you guys do. Because it's kind of weird, right? It's just did we miss a chapter there? Peter, do you love me? Yes, he loves you, Jesus. Oh, here's how you're going to die. So if you ever wondered that, today, I'm hoping that we can actually uncover at least perhaps some of the reasons why Jesus had given Peter that prophecy. I believe as you and I are going to look at and study in Acts chapter 12, Peter needed to hear that. Why? It's not because he was so pushy that, Peter, if you're going to be so pushy, let me just tell you how it's all going to unravel. These guys aren't pushy like you, so I'm just going to tell you how you're going to die. And he turns to John, remember, what about that guy? Never mind him, you follow me. Today, I'm hoping that some of the things that we could look at and some of the things we could touch upon are simply why it was that Jesus had spoken that to Peter, why he gave him that prophecy. Because if you look at and you're studying the Bible contextually, you want to look at the text within the context and even study it in the life and heart of a guy like Peter, who's like me, who's like you, let me just say. Perhaps he needed that prophecy. Perhaps he needed a little glimmer of hope because he didn't know what we call Acts chapter 12, what happened. I'm hoping to actually answer that today. And then now we find in Acts chapter 12, Peter is obeying Jesus. So what do you do when you're obeying Jesus? You're following him. You're doing what you believe Jesus wants you to do, but now you're put in prison. That happened to Paul. That happened to Peter here, and not the first time for Peter even. As we study through his life and others in the book of Acts, we find that sometimes simply for doing the will of God, I'm just doing what you want me to do, Jesus, you might end up with a prison ministry. You might end up behind bars like Peter. That might happen. Now, if you do something that you're not supposed to do, that's different. You're doing something because Jesus tells you, do it. But if you find that you're obeying Jesus and following him, but maybe you find yourself in a trapped situation, or like Peter now, behind bars, and we're told that he had, look at verse 4, Herod had put him in prison and delivered Peter to four squads. Simple math. What's a squad? How many soldiers in a squad? Four. Okay, so for the mathematicians here, four squads, how many people? How many soldiers? 16. To watch one dude, right? What do you do when maybe you're obeying Jesus and you're following him like Peter and you find yourself in a trap situation, maybe even behind bars? Number one, trust God. You got to trust God. And then number two, have the Christians pray for you. Can someone say amen to that? Have the Christians pray for you. We need that, right? Peter's not the only one that needed that. And because the word stands forever, you and I need that as well. So this is where Peter finds himself here today in our story. And this is why I believe it's of the many, 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 many reasons why you and I need to read and study God's word within the context. It answers all these peculiar questions that you and I might have. Jesus, this dude just got done telling you he loves you. Why do you got to go do that? He didn't say, John, do you love me? Okay, you're going to die a nice death. You're going to die of old age. Well, this guy, Peter, he was the kind of a thorn in my side. I just got to tell him. It didn't seem nice. But why is it? I believe he had to hear that prophecy. You see, Peter knew when he would die. We'll touch upon that later. Peter knew how he would die. We'll get to that also in a little bit. And we knew certain other specifics about that. Jesus isn't sitting there abusing him. This is a thing of love. Everything Jesus did and said was about love. So if you're wondering, Jesus, that's a little wacky. God, you say in 1 John 4, you are love. You're perfect. Everything you said and did is perfect. But why did you do that to Peter? That didn't seem nice. And obviously you did it publicly amongst the other guys. You kind of goofed him before the others. No, Peter had to know to give him hope. So before we go on, let me just say to you, Christian, maybe you're here today, and maybe Jesus has given you a word of hope. Maybe something that's a peculiar prophecy, like he did with Peter. Hold on to that if it's from God. Don't let go. It may not be revealed and unraveled today what he wants to do through you, but sometime in the future it will. So that's what we see here about Peter. I believe that Jesus told him specific things so that this time in Peter's life, in Acts chapter 12, Peter would need to know why. Hope. And I could almost cry thinking about this, because later on you read Peter's little letters that he wrote in the latter part of the Bible, and one of the biggest topics Peter writes about is what? Hope. You see, Jesus had to instill hope within him. So if you're obeying Jesus and you find yourself to bondage for whatever it is, it could be to self, it could be relationships, it could be stuff, there's always hope through Jesus Christ. Amen? There's always hope through Jesus Christ. Look at this. And I'm going to share this here before we go through this, because I want you and I to see what Peter heard and knew, but this really can't be seen unless we study a little further. I'm just splashing on the display here, verses 18 and 19. Look at what he says, what Jesus said. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished, but, and I put here, colorized in purple here, when you are old. Listen to that. When you are old, Jesus doesn't lie. Amen? He doesn't lie. You will stretch out your hands. That's another thing he says. That's a prophecy of his crucifixion. And another will gird you. That's an important thing. And carry you where you do not wish. Now, knowing this, and I'll leave that there, let's get back into Acts chapter 12. Acts 12, notice this again. He's delivered unto four squads. And who is it that imprisoned him? Who imprisoned Peter? Was it Pilate? Was it the Jews? Was it Herod? Who imprisoned Peter? Herod. Herod did. Important to know. We'll come to that in just a little moment. Look at verse 5. Verse 5 says, Peter was therefore kept in prison. But constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. I love that. Notice, prayer was offered to God for him, for Peter, by the church. So the church was in constant prayer for Peter. For what? To be set free from prison. Folks, again, before we go on, let me tell you that maybe you're here and maybe you're in bondage to something, whatever it is. All sorts of things. You don't have to splash out and display your sins unless you felt led to confess that later on. Okay, we're not going to do that publicly. But God certainly knows. And we're all in bondage to something, amen? All of us are. It could be self, it could be relationships. For me, when I was younger, things like drugs, alcohol, bad relationships. I'm an ex-DJ, so I didn't just go to parties, I promoted parties and nightclubs. That's my story. But Jesus is the one that gave me hope and rescued me from that. So I'm here to tell you that maybe you are here and you also find yourself in some kind of bondage, whatever that is. Jesus can set you free. But you might need prayer offered to God for you by the church. Maybe you're here today and there's something that you're in prison too. Maybe it's sin. Maybe it's a situation. Maybe relationships. Something or someone that you feel in bondage to. Okay, so if that's you, know that the church can pray for you. My guess is that's why the Holy Spirit brought some of you in. And we could pray for you today. But pray that your chains would fall off, like we're going to be able to read about with Peter. And that, like Jesus did with Peter, that Jesus can give you hope. He can. If he can do it for me, if he can do it for Peter, he can do it for you. God's not a respecter of persons. He wants to give each and every one of us hope. So this is one of the reasons, of the many reasons, why it's great to be connected with a local church fellowship, whether it's Colorado, I think it is, or here. Because then you're connected with people, and when they notice, hey, where's Peter? Oh, haven't you heard? Oh, dude, let's organize prayer. But if you're not connected with the local family, it's like, something missing? I don't know. What's her face? What's his name? Isn't here. It's good to connect with a local church so you can be offered prayer. Let's continue on. Verse 6, let's read this here. And when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly, and his chains fell off his hands. Notice, his chains fell off his hands. Peter was freed from his chains, the thing that was binding him, what kept him bound. Now, I want to give you a little peek into the heart of what may have been going on with Peter. A couple chapters prior. If you're there in Acts 12, turn a couple pages, you're in John 21. Some time has transpired. Jesus comes to him, though. Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? By the way, Peter, here's when and how you're going to die. Oh. So now Peter's bound. 16 soldiers. This tells us he's sleeping there. Ain't sleeping in privacy. I don't know about you guys. You guys go home. Anybody lock the door when you're at home? None of you guys? Oh, some of you guys. Some of you guys are like, oh, I don't know, maybe. Usually in New York, we lock the doors. Usually. I'm sure you trust people. But here's a guy. He's chained up. Two chains. Okay? So at least it's describing a chain on this hand and a chain on that one. Soldier on that side, soldier on that side, 14 others guarding. Excuse me, can I use the restroom? You know, think about that. Nighttime, he's sleeping. But I want you and I to peek into Peter's heart and mind. Jesus gave him a prophecy. Let's look at this. Why would Jesus do that? To give Peter hope. To give Peter hope in Acts chapter 12. Jesus prophesied that Peter would die. Look. He tells them, when? When? Why is that important? Acts chapter 12, Peter's not an old guy yet. So he's hearing those words, he's probably going through his head. like you and me would do. What's up with this, Jesus? Who here would be asking him that? Right? Okay, let's fess up. That's kind of real. Okay, again, who here would be asking Jesus that? Come on. I'm a little young. You know? It says, when you're old, Peter, have hope. I don't have to tell you why I'm doing things. Let me just tell you, Peter, when you're old. Now, this is one of the reasons why, of the many, many reasons why, when you ask Jesus those why questions, why he doesn't answer the why. Any of you guys figured that out? He just sometimes just tells you, that's God. He's just going to do what he wants. Because he knows your future. Not just the future, he knows your future. Peter, when you're old. So now Peter's bound. Two chains, right? One on the left, one on the right. 14 other guards. Now, they're old school. We're going to learn later on that these 16 soldiers are going to die. Why? Because they let this bro go. Wasn't really their fault. And now we could be some Christians like, oh, is that fair, Jesus? You could have done it better. 16 people had to die just for this one guy to go free. I can't answer the why questions for them. But that's the reality of what happened. You can say, oh, that's old school. Today that doesn't happen in prisons. Okay? This is a jailbreak. You don't sit there and go, okay, what about the guys over there working? I'm like, you know, what happens to them? It doesn't happen. Maybe they get fired, administrative leave, pay cut. They don't get killed publicly. But Herod wanted, you know, to be an example. So Jesus wants to give Peter hope because he knew Acts 12 would happen. He tells him when he's old. Peter, when you are old. Now, we can't know for sure exactly what Peter's going through, but I'll bet he's a little like you, like me. Jesus, didn't you tell me? I'm not going to die by Herod. But that's the whole reason why, as the chapter 12 opens up, that's the whole reason why he grabbed Peter. Listen, he grabbed someone, is James, the brother of John, grabs him and kills him. How did he get killed? Let's kind of be scriptural sleuths and examine this. The chapter opens up. He grabs James. How did James die? By the sword. Isn't that what your Bible says? With the sword. Okay. Verse 2. Then he killed James, the brother John, with the sword. So, Peter, when you are old, here's how I interpret that, if I'm Peter. At least something like this. I'm like checking my phone. Peter, when you're old. He's there. I'm sure he's quite scared. James, his buddy, just got killed with a sword. Okay. In other words, it wasn't death by lethal injection. It wasn't the gas chamber. Publicly killed with a sword. Maybe gutted. Isaiah was sawn in half. There's some old school type of things that they would do. He's killed with a sword. Peter's probably thinking like you and I would. Am I going to be next? We know he is married, right? Peter was not the first pope, by the way. Peter had a wife. Remember, Jesus healed Peter's wife's mom, his mother-in-law. I'm sure she was probably freaking out. Maybe she was at the house praying too. Peter, it's not your time to die. That's how you might interpret that. Folks, if maybe you're bound by something. Maybe you're going to have a prison ministry later on. I don't know. Things are getting pretty bad in the United States for the sake of the name of Jesus and the word of God. What if I go to prison? Hey, praise God. You gave me prison ministry. I'm still going to be sitting there in my heart, but Jesus, didn't you say this? Didn't you say that? Peter, when you are old, it's not time. It's not time. Notice, too, that it was Herod that had him. Now, why is that important? I'll tell you why. A couple reasons why. You can see the localized text and the greater context when you're studying the Bible. Herod didn't kill people by crucifixion. He wasn't known for that, let me just say. And that's not what he saw. It's like, hey, if I take one of those apostles and I kill them, ooh, these Jews are going to be nice people to me now. So he goes and he grabs Peter. How did he kill James? With the sword. So what does Peter know? Jesus, you prophesied, I'm going to die by crucifixion. Who's the one that killed people by crucifixion? Rome. You see what's happening here? Peter understood the cultural context. You and I don't because we're 2,000 years later. That's why when you're studying the Bible, it's great to know the context of the text. This was there to inspire and to give Peter hope. It's not my time to die. kind of a bummer. I'm, you know, chained to these guys here, but it's not my time to die. Herod wasn't known for crucifying people. Pilate and Rome were. The wrong people are imprisoning me. This is not my time to die. Jesus was trying to give Peter hope. And notice a couple of things, too, that we're going to see unravel in the text here. Notice the prophecy that Jesus gave. Again, going back to what you see on the display here, John 21, verse 18. Some of the details that you and I are going to see that Peter knew, this is not my time, because you said when, Jesus, when I'm old. This is not how I'm going to die. I'm not going to die with the sword. I'm going to die by crucifixion. It's not like you sit there, yay, I'm going to die by crucifixion, not the sword. If I had to choose, it's like, actually, I'd rather die by the sword, because crucifixion is supposedly some really massively bad way to die. Jesus, Messiah, did that for you and I. But he's also told a couple other details that the angel, as quoted by Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, is going to give us a little bit of info here. And when you start to put the pieces together, you realize, why did Jesus tell Peter how he's going to die, when he's going to die, and other specific details? To give Peter hope. To give him hope. And maybe you're here and you feel like you have some kind of prison that you're in bondage to, whatever it is. Maybe it's a little prison like Peter, or maybe it's some kind of bondage that you have. We all have stuff. If so, have hope, because Jesus wants to give you his words too. And some of you have been given prophecies, perhaps, promises within his word, just like Peter. And maybe you're going through stuff, and maybe the Spirit of God might whisper to you as well, it's not time. What you're going through, that's not going to take you out. It's not time. That's not when, that's not how. You'll go through stuff in life like we all do. But if any of this is you, then I'm here to tell you that Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Here's what it says in Isaiah 61. Before we go on, if you're taking notes, Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Jesus, Messiah, was sent to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. I imagine a scripture like that was going through Peter's head and heart. Jesus, come rescue me. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. Listen to this. To comfort all who mourn. To console those who mourn in Zion. To give them beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So if you're feeling bound by something, if you're brokenhearted about something, Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. He wants to set you free, like we're going to read about with Peter here. Let's continue reading on. In verse 8, Acts 12, verse 8, then the angel said to him, wait a second, what does he say? Does it read the same? Get dressed or something like that. Gird yourself and tie in your sandals. Wait a second. Didn't Jesus say to him when he's going to die, how he's going to die? Someone else is going to dress him. If you ever wondered, isn't that kind of a little weird that Jesus told him that? That's why Jesus gave him not just hope, but this specific prophecy. Peter, when you're older, here's how you're going to die. Crucifixion. Also, another will gird you. The angel comes to him and tells him here, look at this. Verse 8, gird yourself and tie on your sandals. Might sound a little strange. He's an angel. Can't he just kind of blink and zap it on his feet or however angels do it in their little angel-y kind of way? I don't know. But what's interesting is this fulfills the prophecy. I want you to see that. And so he did. And he said to him, put on your garment. Why is he telling him that? It's cold outside. No, this helps fulfill the prophecy. And follow me. So he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. He had to actually get up and follow the angel. Now, why is that wacky thing even put in there? Can't he just summarize a story in the narrative? No, this helps fulfill the prophecy because Jesus told him, another's going to carry you where you do not wish. Isn't that interesting how specific and accurate the prophecy of Jesus was to Peter? Again, designed to give Peter hope, but he could also see, wow, as wacky as I thought it was some years ago when you told me in that love exchange, Peter loved me, yes, I love you, and here you are telling me how I'm going to die, when I'm going to die, and you told me specifics about it, and then John had the knack to actually write that down. Let me tell on you, Peter, here's how you're going to die. No, it's not going to happen to me, but I'm going to tell the whole world how you're going to die. Thanks a lot, John. But it fulfills the prophecy. I want you to see that. Isn't that awesome? So at this point, I want you and I to remember the words of Jesus. Jesus prophesied that when Peter would die, someone else will dress him. Jesus prophesied that when Peter would die, others will carry him around. He says, carry you where you do not wish. He's not old yet. He's not going to be crucified by Herod. That's really more of the Romans and with Pilate, like we saw with Jesus. Peter's able to dress himself. And like the angel said, follow me. He's able to go where he wants to. This prophecy was very specific, very accurate. Let's continue reading on. Verse 9, so he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord, and they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people. So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, remember, it's nighttime. He was sleeping, right? I'm sure he wasn't knocking like that. It was probably like, open the door, let me in, man. Come on. Jesus just bust me out of prison, man. Sorry. That's how I imagine it, right? Or maybe he's a little scared. He's like, please, someone come. Hurry, hurry. I just bust out of prison, man. As Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, look at this, because of her gladness, she didn't open the gate. I imagine, whoo, she's all excited. I don't know what to do myself. She didn't bother saying hi. She's like, goes and runs in, right? Because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. He's probably like, girl, come on. Come on. What are you doing? They said, you are beside yourself. Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, it is his angel. Now, keep in mind, the church was praying for him nonstop. So the probably right then and there, in John Mark, the guy that wrote the book of John, in John Mark's mom's house, so you know, it's a pretty sizable place. They had some kind of outer door with some kind of courtyard. And Peter's knocking on the outside door. He also knew that's where the church would meet to pray. Let's let you know a little bit about John Mark. We know later on we're going to see, we might call him a little kind of a mama's boy maybe, well-to-do, maybe wealthy. Goes on a mission trip with Paul. I miss mom, the food. He's probably thinking, goes back home. So he's probably grown up kind of well-to-do, right? Sizable place. People would gather there. People would know that that's where the church would gather. So he goes there. So she got so excited she didn't know what to do. And as they're praying, we assume, presumably praying for Peter, they didn't believe that Peter can get out of prison. They're probably, Lord, please open up the doors. Rhoda comes like, shh, be quiet, girl, we're praying for Peter. He's over there by the door, come on. No, can't be. So they didn't believe it. Like, you and I wouldn't either. I mean, how many times you pray and then Jesus is answering right then and there, and it's a radical, miraculous thing. It doesn't happen all the time. Sometimes it happens with me. But you'd probably be not believing her either. All right, let's see. Who here would believe Rhoda? Who here would not believe Rhoda? Okay, so that, you can understand where they probably were, right? They said to her, you're beside yourselves. Yep, she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, it is angel. Now Peter continued talking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. That was crazy, right? Wasn't that wild? Wish we had YouTube video of that. And he said, go tell these things to James and to the brethren. And he departed and went to another place. Again, out of his own accord, by his own will. Someone didn't have to carry him. Then, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers about what had become of Peter. I'm sorry for kind of chuckling, but if you can imagine, they get up, the chains are there, they're like, did you let him go? No, did you let him go? And I'm like, uh-oh, I think we're in trouble, right? But when Herod had searched for him and not found him, he examined the guards and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. Can we click to the next slide here? So again, Peter goes to Caesarea again. Remember, that's where he came to Jerusalem. He's sharing with them previously about the fact that he went to this area. He had spoken to Cornelius, this Gentile centurion. He and his whole household, a bunch of his friends, got saved. He reported on that. Now he goes, there's persecution, obviously, right now, with Peter. So now he's going to go, and maybe they're going to receive me in Caesarea. Let me go check on Cornelius and the crew. He goes back up there. That makes sense. So he stayed there. Now Herod had been angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, but they came to him with one accord, and having made Blastus, the king's personal aide, their friend, they asked for peace because their country was supplied with food by the king's country. So on a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. And the people kept shouting, "The voice of a god and not of a man." Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and died. Look at the contrast and comparison between what happened with Herod and the Bible, the Word of God. But the Word of God grew and multiplied. You can't hold back God's Word, amen? Can't hold it back. Finishing up the chapter, and then we'll end here. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and they also took with them John, whose surname was Mark. So we're going to go ahead and close here. But Herod doesn't give glory to God. The angel sees that and wham, just executes judgment upon him. Nice. And then it's good to know too, after chapter 12, now after this point, the book of Acts is mostly going to be focused on the leadership and the ministry and missions of Paul, the apostle. But I'm going to close this here. I'm going to close this with a word of prayer here, folks. And again, if you feel that you're in bondage to something, that just like Peter, I want the church to pray for you, that I want us to be able to pray for you. We pray, Lord, bring people in. Bring new people in. Bring others in. Bring them back. And if you're here today and you want prayer, maybe you're in bondage to something like how Peter had physical chains. We want to pray that God would have the chains fall off. Amen? Like what he did with Peter. Can Jesus do that with you? Yes, he definitely can. No matter what it is. Folks, he's delivered me from things like drugs, alcohol, bad relationships, that whole party lifestyle that I was deeply ingrained with, unfortunately. But he rescued me. So Jesus has a story that he wants to write with your life. And if you're here today and you want prayer, then let us pray for you. I'm going to close with prayer, and I'm going to invite if anybody wants prayer that maybe your chains would fall off or whatever you might want prayer for. We'll pray that Jesus can set you free. And Father, we do pray that you would please continue to encourage our hearts. We thank you, Father, for your love for us, that you sent your only son, Jesus, who loved us and died on the cross for our sins, was buried, resurrected according to the scriptures. So he conquered our sin, conquered eternal death. We thank you and praise you for that. So we simply want to surrender to you and declare to you that you are the Savior who died for all of our sins, not just for Peter, but for us too. And knowing and believing that, we want to repent and turn away from our sins and that old lifestyle. We want that new life, that new beginning through Jesus Christ, being brought into a new family, to have new hope and to learn and walk with you in a new way. Please, Father, please continue to minister to us. And we thank you for how accurate your word is, like we saw with Peter in this awesome prophecy you gave him. This sounds a little wacky to hear, but Lord, you needed to instill hope within them. And I believe there's some of us here, Father, that need hope in a similar way, that need the chains to fall off, the bondage to break, that only you can do. Jesus, you did come to heal the brokenhearted, not just with Peter, not just to give him hope, but for some of us here today, Father. Can you please help us to turn away from sin, to turn to you and to embrace this new life following you, and to have more hope and courage and trust in you and your word. Please do so, God, that you would receive all the credit, all the honor, all the glory. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.